24. Into the Labyrinth.
Now, as you're hunting for Yeltis, be mindful of the tracks. Their footprints look very similar to a troll's, since both creatures have six claws. Trolls don't inhabit the Aberdeen wasteland, so if you find tracks similar to a troll down there, then you're in luck. Yeltis like to climb, so watch for any claw marks on the walls of canyons or along a mountainside.
From Kolvinar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 109. The sight of those beige crystals sent Amundal's mind spinning. He walked through the strange room, eyeing them. Each cylindrical crystal held a man or a woman trapped within it, frozen in a moment of utter dread. Hundreds of those crystals filled the chamber, perhaps even a thousand. Who were they? Amundal wondered, passing a woman whose hands were raised as if attempting to shield herself. Sharp tangs rang through the air, the repeated blows of soldiers striking the crystals nearest the door, attempting to free those trapped within the crystals. Amundal passed another crystal, which held a man who looked as if he were screaming.
Amundal! Ilden called, weaving around a row of crystal cylinders. Amundal, there's another room like this across the hall!
Another room?
It's like a prison, Ilden said, tapping on the nearest crystal. And these are the cells.
He's smart, that voice said, but I wouldn't expect anything less of someone from his family.
Amundal set his jaw and glanced to the ceiling. Was this voice ever going to leave him alone? Ilden raised an eyebrow and stepped closer to Amundal.
Did you hear something? He whispered.
Just that nagging voice, Amundal said. So, a prison, you say?
He eyed the nearest crystal. The golden framing around the crystal did look like a cage. Ilden nodded.
I wonder if they're still alive. That would be a fate worse than death.
Amundal brushed his hand along the nearest of the supposed crystal cells. It's warm, he said in surprise. No crystal he had ever touched gave off warmth. The illusionist raised an eyebrow and pressed his hand on the crystal.
Strange, he muttered. But don't most religious texts claim damnation is where the wicked will forever embrace their sins, frozen in their horror amidst the flames of Tartalim?
Amundal shrugged. So I've heard. Never made much sense to me. Like most Sarothians, Amundal was not religious. Ilden nodded. Even the names coincide with what we've seen. Halls of the Damned, the Never-Ending Labyrinth. This place is damnation. The actual Tartalim. Amundal glanced to his friend, raising an eyebrow skeptically. Ilden didn't seem to notice and kept talking. What if this is a prison left over from eons ago, built by a civilization far more sophisticated than our own? Perhaps once this place and its prisoners, trapped in this crystallized state, were common knowledge. Then over time it became distorted, and the details of the prison became a legend, and then made their way into myths and religions.
Ilden's reasoning sounded very similar to that of those scholars at the Order of Histories back in Sarath. Prior to leaving for the Aramean Test of Valor, Amundal had heard his father and brother discussing a theory recently published at the Order of Histories. Several scholars proposed that the religions of Kaldaz's current era were the result of twisting the past with superstition. The scholars were bold enough to suggest that religious histories were simply fictional, and that the gods did not exist, at least not in a way that they were portrayed in their current religious dogmas.
Interesting theory, Amundal said, stroking the crystal once again.
Ilden tapped the crystal, then the golden casing.
I wonder if this casing is a tephesrol of some kind.
He gestured back to the soldiers trying to breach the crystal. They aren't even scratching the surface of the crystal. So whatever this is, it's definitely not natural.
I can agree with that, Amundal said.
The ringing of metal ceased and was replaced by sighs of defeat.
Why don't we go back? Amundal said. We don't know how long that doorway will stay open.
Good point. Ildin spun from the crystal. I'd hate to be trapped in here.
Amandal and Ildin returned to the hallway. Most members of the expedition were quietly conversing about their predicament, and some were talking about the missing staircase.
Missing staircase? Amandal looked down the hall. The staircase, the landing, and the railing were gone.
Where they should have been was a solid wall with one of those oval doorways.
What is wrong with this place?
Shaking his head, Amandal nudged Ildin and pointed down the hall.
What? Ildin asked. Then his eyes bulged. Where's the stairs? We didn't walk that far. They should be just past that pillar.
He hurried through the hall, passing the conjurations. Amandal ran after his friend, shaking his head.
We only passed one set of pillars.
He passed another open door and glanced inside. From what he could tell, the room beyond the doorway was packed with hundreds of those crystal cells.
How many people are trapped in this place?
If all these doorways had similar rooms, then there must be thousands within this hall alone.
Maybe tens of thousands.
This doesn't make any sense,
Ildin shouted, throwing his hands into the air. Amandal came to a halt beside his friend, studying the wall.
That's about the right distance, he thought,
recounting the time it took for him and Squad 23 to walk from the stairs to where they had been stopped.
Where did this wall come from?
Ildin asked. He continued spewing confused questions while Amandal glanced back to the stone wall barring their path.
This hall is uniform-looking, he thought.
The ornate pillars were recessed into the wall at equal intervals. Each oval doorway was centered between pillars, too.
Those lines of light were also the same distance apart.
Intrigued, Amandal glanced back and forth down the hall. The direction opposite of where they were heading stretched on for quite a way, perhaps a grand finial or so.
But hadn't Felinia said it was blocked?
Confused, Amandal reached out to his gusset.
Fly!
The gusset soared through the hall while Ildin mustered a dispel. White light gathered around Ildin's hands, and once the magic formed, he slammed it against the wall. The white particles permeated the stone, but soon vanished.
Nothing, Ildin said with a sigh, not even a flicker. And here I thought it might have been transmuted.
Amandal closed his eyes, focusing his vision through the conjuration, while Ildin speculated about their predicament. He expected to see a blocked path at the hall's end, but instead he found an intersecting hallway.
It's not blocked anymore.
You mean the end of the hall?
Ildin asked. Amandal nodded, opening his eyes.
Back to me, he commanded the bird.
Felinia said it was blocked. That's why we went left instead of right. Ildin rubbed his chin in thought.
There's an intersection down there now, Amandal said. How is that possible?
Ildin asked. Amandal watched the conjuration fly back through the hall.
Have the halls shifted somehow?
Exactly, that voice cheered. Well done.
Raising an eyebrow, Amandal glanced to the ceiling. But if the halls had shifted, wouldn't they have felt a jolt?
Is that voice speaking to you again?
Ildin asked. Amandal nodded.
How crazy would you call me if I said the halls were shifting?
Ildin's eyes widened in surprise. He looked as if his mind was churning with ideas he had not considered.
That's why this all looks the same, he mused, a smile breaking across his face.
Look! The hall is divided into uniform segments, and those lines of light mark where the shifting occurs.
The illusionist burst into triumphant laughter.
Amandal, you've figured it out! Come on, we have to tell the others!
Still laughing, Ildin hurried back through the hall to the rest of the expedition.
Shifting hallways, Amandal thought, studying the hall once again.
If that were true, then Felinia and the others were probably still alive.
But how would we get back to them?
Considering the dilemma, Amandal followed Ildin. The illusionist was already at the cluster of squad leaders explaining their supposition.
It's not a supposition, that voice said. Look at your conjuration.
Amundel slowed his gait and eyed the severed elemental. It had been sheared in half, a clean cut.
If these holes are shifting, then that occurrence can be lethal.
Applause rang in Amundel's mind, but he shook it off and hurried toward Ilden.
"Only way this makes sense," Ilden said, pointing to the wall barring the hall. "These hallways move."
Several squad leaders snorted.
"And how does this work?"
one of them asked, his tone mocking.
"I don't know," Ilden said, "but look," he pointed down the hall. "That end isn't blocked anymore."
Mirodin narrowed his eyes. Was he considering Ilden's explanation? He looked at Amundel, worried.
"Is he right?" the retired soldier asked.
"Yes," Amundel said.
"Why didn't we feel anything?" a squad leader asked. "If what you're saying is true, then we should have all been knocked about."
"Maybe," Ilden said with a shrug. "Maybe not. What if there was a Tevisrol that stopped us from feeling forces like spinning?"
Several of the squad leaders laughed.
"It's better than what you've come up with," Mirodin said, glaring at those mocking Ilden.
Another squad leader sighed and shook his head.
"Mirodin, you're not believing this, are you?"
Mirodin glared at the squad leader.
"How else do you explain the missing stairs? I vote we go the other way."
"We need proof,"
another said.
"Amundel's conjuration is proof," Ilden blurted. "Just look at it. It's cut in half."
An argument ensued, but Amundel did not participate. He eyed the remains of the expedition, then took note of the distance between the pillars.
"We all have to stay between those glowing lines," he thought. "Those are the safe spots."
"Wonderful," that voice cheered. "I knew you'd understand."
Amundel set his jaw and glanced at the ceiling, not amused.
"Come on," Ilden said, tugging Amundel's arm. "I've had enough of this."
The argument intensified among the squad leaders. Several wanted to stay put, but the majority thought they should keep moving. He turned from the arguing squad leaders and followed Ilden toward Fendar and Sylas. Once Ilden reached them, he began relating the theories about the halls.
"Shifting halls?" Fendar asked skeptically. "That's not possible."
"Why not?" Sylas asked. "Everything on this trip has been nothing but the impossible."
Fendar shrugged, but noticed Amundel approaching.
"Do you believe Ilden?" he called to Amundel.
"He's the one who came up with it," Ilden said.
"Came up with what?"
Jacob asked from behind Amundel. The necromancer swiftly rounded a soldier lying on the ground and joined Fendar and Sylas.
"The idea of shifting hallways," Sylas said.
Jacob burst into laughter, but soon bit his tongue.
"You're serious about this?"
"They are,"
Fendar said.
"Bilinus and Orin want to stay put," Ilden said. "I think that's just asking to be trapped. Who knows, another wall might show up over there."
He pointed back toward the stairs.
"At least where they should have been."
"What do you think, Amundel?" Sylas asked.
Amundel clasped his hands behind his head.
"I don't think we should stay put."
"You think it's safer moving?"
Jacob asked.
"I'd much rather stay here."
"No," Amundel said, shaking his head. "Moving about will be just as dangerous. If we stay, we risk dying of starvation. If we keep moving, we risk getting squashed or attacked."
"Attacked?"
Ilden asked, surprised. Jacob's face scrunched into wrinkles.
"Squashed? How do you suppose that?"
"The shifting walls," Amundel said. "Just take a look at my conjuration."
He pointed back to the severed elemental. "It must have been on those lines of light. The other half is probably in another hallway." Ilden lowered his voice.
"What do you mean by attacked?"
Amundel related what he had overheard Vaim telling Kaidal. The Mandalorians knew of something inhabiting the white-stoned halls of Tardalim. But Vaim had mentioned the threat in the plural. Was there more than one of those creatures from his nightmares?
"Do you know what they are?" Sylas asked.
Amundel nodded. "I saw one of them in my dreams, my nightmares."
"Like the frostbite dream?"
she asked. Yes, Amandel looked about. And if it's as terrifying as in my nightmare, we shouldn't stay put.
Amandel, Maraudin called. Jacob!
Now what? Amandel turned, his jaw tensing. Maraudin approached, picking his way around lounging soldiers.
Let's get moving, Maraudin said. Our squad is taking the lead.
We're leaving?
Fendar asked. Maraudin nodded.
We took a vote, and we're not waiting around for a rescue. A note is being left behind in case Kalamir manages to find this space again. We'll leave breadcrumbs, so to speak.
I doubt anyone will come rescue us, Amandel said. Vayam wanted to keep moving. From what I heard, she intends to reach this place's higher floors as fast as possible. We have a better chance of running into them than being found.
Maraudin nodded. The look on his face told Amandel that Maraudin knew that information had been obtained through the gosset.
I'll tell the others we need to keep going up. Hopefully, we'll find the commander.
Maraudin turned around and hurried to the squad leaders.
Well, let's get packing, Fendar said with a sigh.
Ildin decided to join Squad 23 since most of his squad was missing. Maraudin didn't seem to have a problem with him joining their ranks. Jacob had been the only other mage beside Amandel.
Are you ready? Ildin asked.
Ready as I'll ever be, Amandel said.
He commanded his conjurations to move forward. Ildin sent his enthralled earthen giants next.
That's a good buffer, the illusionist said, then leaned close to Amandel. Hopefully, they can take care of whatever is out there.
I hope so, Amandel thought, his stomach knotting. It will be fine. It has to be fine. Once the conjurations were 20 or so paces away, Amandel began his march. Ildin kept an even pace with him while Jacob, Fendar, and Sylas trailed behind them. The five friends broke formation, forming their own squad of sorts. When they passed the wall that should have been the stairs, Sylas spoke.
I'll put a regenerative imbuing upon each of you.
She uttered an incantation, mustering Arpran magic.
Too bad Morjadayan isn't here, Fendar said.
Jacob grunted.
Are acidic barjans not good enough for you?
Are you actually going to cast them? Fendar asked.
A snicker left Jacob's lips, followed by an incantation. The five friends had walked a good 400 finials or so before the other squads began moving. Amandel's group was halfway to the intersection down the hall when Maraudin and the mercenaries caught up to them.
Which way are we going? Maraudin asked.
I don't know, Amandel said. Let's get everyone to that intersection, and then Fendar and Ildin can start scouting.
Fair enough, Maraudin said. Let's duck into the left side first between the pillars, like you said.
Prior to leaving, Amandel had shared all his observations with Maraudin. Amandel's conjurations were the first to reach the intersection, and he guided them to the left. As they rounded the corner, a high-pitched, nasally voice screamed,
"Foul invaders!"
A flash of violet light filled the hall, and Amandel felt a hole punched through his earthen giant's chest, while a purple beam sped overhead. A disintegrating blast? Amandel immediately shifted his focus to his conjurations, while Maraudin shouted a command to prepare for battle. A strange gray-colored creature, no larger than Amandel's torso, hovered in front of the wounded earthen giant, its wings fluttering in a blur. The winged creature had a strange amalgamation of features unlike anything Amandel had ever seen. A gray tail, dotted with charcoal spots, was the only body part below the creature's waist. Its midsection was human-like, with a torso and arms that looked like that of a toddler, a gray-skinned toddler. The creature's wings, which spanned from head to tail, fluttered so quickly that Amandel couldn't tell what color they were. In its tiny hands, the creature hefted a rod-like object, aiming the three prongs on its end at the head of Amandel's conjuration.
"For my mother!"
the creature shouted. The words came from bizarre lips at the end of a trunk that protruded from beneath an oversized helmet of strange design. A nasally cry filled the hall as the prongs of the rod-like object glowed, then fired a violet beam that disintegrated the earthen giant's head.